We are in a new series coming up starting today. We have been walking through the Psalms, and I don't know if you notice it, but I have a button-up on and actual nice shoes. Let me just show you this right here. They're no longer my Converse that we've been wearing. And the reason why that was going on, just to give you some context, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, is the Psalms are really authentic and real. And so when you're safe, you feel comfortable. When you're comfortable, you project that in the way that you act and dress and whatnot. So we've been walking through the Psalms and looking at some real issues of like doubt and struggles and fears and celebrations and all everything in between. And we finished up that series last Sunday. Now, where we're at is we started before the summer the book of Acts. We went through chapters 1 through 2. And so let me give you a quick context of kind of where we were at and where we are headed. That's what today's really about is we're defining the word mission and kind of taking an overview of the book of Acts because this word mission is going to be with us for quite some time. We're going to be, we'll get to that in a second. So Acts 1 through 2, what's going on there is the Holy Spirit is like handing the baton, Jesus is handing over the baton to the Holy Spirit in regards to the work of what it looks like to be the church. So the disciples are trying to figure this whole thing out, and really at the end of Acts and the end of Luke and the beginning of Acts, we see this kind of transfer where Jesus raises again from the dead, hangs out with the disciples, ascends into heaven, and the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down, and kind of right in between that time, we see this preparation and this rhythm that starts to take place. Now, this rhythm, so let me just stop there and say, you guys clapped through the entire song that we just had. I don't know if you noticed that. I'm humbled by that. I'm so pleased that you guys clapped through. So for those of you that don't know, we don't clap through an entire song. I don't know what it is. There's a lot of things going into it, but we just don't, like, we start and then there's that one person and then they finally give up. And so usually that one person is me, and we clapped all the way through. I'm proud of you guys. But speaking of clapping rhythms, that there's this rhythm out there that God has from the beginning of time started, and what happens is that we have gone outside of this rhythm with our sin all the way back to the garden. God has established a way for mankind to live in harmony with his creator, God. And so that's where the rhythm came. But we came and we went to our own drum, didn't we? So we went into sin and we started to go down that road. And so a lot of the redemption of Jesus Christ is bringing humanity back into that rhythm. And we begin to see these rhythms established as we give our Jesus establishes the church. So if you are a Christian or not, one of the questions that we were answering through that whole time is, can you know if you are fulfilling the purpose for you which we were born? Can you know if you're fulfilling the purpose for which you were born? Now, the scriptures would say yes. And what that includes is giving your life to what Jesus gave his life for. Giving your life to what Jesus gave his life for. And that's the church. The church defined is you, is people, all of all tribes, tongues, and nations that have come together that proclaim and believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the church is, these are the rhythms that we looked at. It was about a 10-week series. The church is all about Jesus, kingdom-minded, and spirit-filled. We are, as members of the church, witnesses who pray and lead and preach or proclaim as we strive for diversity and generosity, and in the process of doing that, we commune with God and with others. So those were the rhythms that we looked at, all about Jesus, kingdom-minded and spirit-filled. We are witnesses who pray and lead and preach as we strive for diversity and live into generosity as we commune with God and others. Now, if we back it up a little bit, that was Acts 1 through 2 and even a little bit of the end of Luke. If you back it up a little bit, there is a theme verse found in the book of Acts that really establishes the rest of the book, and that's Acts 1:8 up on the screen. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth, to the end of the earth. And that's Acts 1:8. Now, no matter what commentary you read or what scholar you kind of look at, they all point back to this verse that says this establishes the entire book, that there's three sections that are going on here where we're called to be witnesses, that the Holy Spirit will empower us to be a witness. The first one is Jerusalem. The second one is Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem would be their local context. Judea and Samaria would be their county context, and then to the ends of the earth would be world missions. And so that establishes what the church, the Big C church, the church universal, is. That's what our mission statement is, to fulfill the Great Commission, to go out into all the world, and we're going to read in a second, preach the gospel and disciple the nations. Like, so that's what it is, and there's three areas in which we do so. Our local context, which is Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, our county, and then to the ends of the earth. So what that means for us and what we will break down the book of Acts in are three areas. So first one is Jerusalem, and we're called to reach our local context, and that's going to be mission to the neighborhood, mission to the neighborhood. And that's going to be Acts 3 through 7. And then after that, we're going to take a break through Christmas, and then we got mission to the 805, which is our county, we're going to be reaching out to our county, and then that's, and you know what? My slides didn't save. That is not correct as far as the Acts. I worked on these slides and finished them up this morning, and I blame my computer, but it didn't sync up. Anyway, so that is, let's see, that would be 8 through 13, I believe, and then all the way through, and then you have mission to the end, which would be the rest of the book of Acts. So those will be our three things. Now, if you notice, it's mission to our neighborhood, mission to the 805, and mission to the end. Those are the three things that we're going to be looking at for quite some time. So I thought it would be beneficial for us to really just look at the word mission. What does that mean for our church to be on mission? Because if you think about the word mission, it has all kinds of definitions. So I want us to sync up. Like, for instance, hey, what'd you do after church? I went to the mission. What does that mean? Does that mean you were on mission? No, you went to this really beautiful area that's in Santa Barbara, and it's the mission. Like, you know, went to the Rose Gardens at the mission, played Frisbee at the mission. Like, so there's this noun, this place. What I want to do is take it from that and apply it as more like an action word for us and define it. So the definition, which is right in front of me and also up on the screen, is this. Mission. Sent to speak and respond to God's work of redemption. Mission. Sent to speak and respond to God's work of redemption. So the first part is sent. If you are a Christian, you have been sent. So as soon as you proclaim, I believe. So how somebody gets saved is this. They proclaim faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe that he died on the cross for their sins and rose again on the third day. Someone preached or told them or gave them a pamphlet that had that message on it. And then they had made some sort of prayer or proclamation that Jesus is Lord. And at that point, people are born again. They're a new creation in Christ. And so with that new creation, with that new identity, comes with a mission. And that mission is to be sent, to go. And that ties into the original thing that we talked about. Can you know if you're fulfilling the purpose for which you were born? Can you know that? Well, the scriptures, what I believe, as the very definition of what God, our creator, has established for his creation to live into. And the first thing we see is that we're sent. That there is a not just like stint, but like a going, a sent forth. It comes with your identity in Christ. And it's the greatest of all missions. Like, if your life couldn't be about anything else, wouldn't it be cool if you could be a part of changing people's destiny for eternity? Yeah. Kind of a big deal, right? Yeah. Awesome. So, I mean, that's what we're a part of. We're sent. And what I want to be very clear on is that once you proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, that is now, it's not something that you do, it's something that you are. You are on mission. It is part of your identity. You have been blessed with the most amazing message of all mankind, and now you are an ambassador to go and preach that message. What message? According to Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God for salvation for all those who believe, right? So that means, what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, that he lived for you perfectly, died for you, for your sins, rose again on the third day. And just in that message, if you believe in that, there's this power that takes place. This is crazy, awesome power. And I've got story after story after story of times where I proclaimed that message and saw God do amazing things, even when I didn't think he was going to. I mean, some of you know I used to live in Maui. And being a Hali, as they would call me, a foreigner is the word, semi-derogatory, but once you're there for a while, it's not a big deal. You are never, ever, ever supposed to walk into a group of Hawaiians drinking beer if you're white, unless they know you. I'm just being super honest. You guys are looking at me like I'm racist. I'm not. I'm like just being, like, you just don't do that because it's room for trouble. You're going to get lipped off to and then get beat up if you lip back. Like, so that's just how that works. And I remember just feeling called at one point as a foreigner to this island, as a minority, if you would, by the power of the gospel message, I walked into this group of Hawaiians, and I remember the one guy was sitting there with a beer in his hand. He's like, well, he said a derogatory statement that I had I don't know how to say it in church, I was crazy but brave. I'll just say it that way. Just let your imagination wander. So he's like, bruh, what's she doing? You cannot, cuz, you should not be here. And then I started proclaiming the gospel message. I just said, hey, can I tell you a quick story? And at that point, they were all looking at me like, this better be good, cuz. Because you should not be here. And then one of the guys who was kind of like the alpha male of the group, somehow the gospel message reached that kid in the middle of this. Now picture this scene. Some white kid holding hands with a group of Hawaiians that just set down their beers, repeating after me the sinner's prayer. The power of the gospel. It was just a simple message that some guy 2,000 years ago died on the cross for our sins. And then 3 days later, the claim is he rose again from the dead. Like, I didn't spice it up and I didn't make it all cool. I just told the simple message and then gave the invite. That's it. That's all I did. Now, with that, we are sent. We are sent in our local context, in our county, and in our world to proclaim a gospel message, which leads me, well, let me read you this scripture. Sent is Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is known as the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is all good news. So one, go. Therefore, what are we supposed to go? We proclaim the gospel message by making disciples. We make disciples out of people that are not disciples currently. That's what we do. With what? The gospel message. How? By baptizing them, which assumes the belief that they believe the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. We baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have a baptismal back there. I cannot wait to use it, y'all. So just somebody get saved today, please. And then what do? We teach to observe all that Jesus had commanded. And behold, we are not alone because Jesus is with us. We are sent. The next part of the definition is to speak. We are sent to speak, to teach, as it just said in Matthew 28, and proclaim the gospel message because it's news. It's actual news. Like, who gets the CNN updates or the news updates on their phone or whatever, right? Just me and one other guy. Okay, not CNN. Oh, sorry. So we'll leave that one alone, but that's awesome. The point is that news comes up, whether you look at the newspaper or, you know, you turn on your channel, local news, look up NewsHawk or all right, whatever it is. What is it? Yeah, that. And so, and we see things, and what they're doing, what they're supposed to be doing, I'll say it that way based on the CNN comment, they're supposed to be reporting something that has happened with truthfulness. It's just simple, this is what happened, and then they tell you about it. The gospel message is that. It's news. It's something that happened that then we tell other people about. That's it. And we proclaim it. We talk about it. We tell people, hey, guess what? Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He rose again on the third day. We get crazy about it, as you guys have seen me done here at this church, as well as talking to other people. Putting out like just like little tiny seeds to see if there's a response and then letting the conversation flow from there in hopes that I get to be able to say, hey, Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again on the third day. We proclaim this message. Look at 2 Corinthians up on the screen. It says this. It says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Okay? So again, forgiveness of sins, relationship with God, in harmony with now because of Jesus, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us, the church, the message of reconciliation. So check this out. I've said this before, but hopefully somebody will listen. We have been entrusted with the most important message ever given to mankind. Go. That's what our message is. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Like, God said, hey, the most important thing, the very power for which God uses to bring about salvation or change the destiny for someone that was headed to hell and now it can go to heaven because their sins have been removed, Jesus' righteousness has been accounted or declared to them. That very message that gives us, at the very least, an entrance into heaven where God is said, Jesus himself is said to be preparing a house for us, a place to stay, for all those called that call upon his name. That's crazy. He was a carpenter, so I bet it's awesome. That message. That's what God does. Here, I'm going to take you and I want you, I'm going to entrust you, I'm going to trust you with my message. Go. Sent. And now what? Speak the message. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. It's an identity thing. Again, God making his appeal, what? Through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So one definition of mission is we are sent to speak, to proclaim. Romans 10 says this, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? The question is, that's on us. I'm not trying to be super convicting. I'm just, hey, this is who we are. Let's begin to live into who we are. How are they going to get saved if no one tells them? That's a good question. Don't just rely on me. Just drag them to church and promise them lunch, and then they canceled it and bailed. Like, you have the ability to share the gospel message. You are sent to speak. And number three, respond. We're sent to respond. Now, this is where it gets also not just speak, but also validate our speech with our lifestyle. So we're sent to respond to the gospel message, that we have been changed and transformed by God himself. And then all of life is now a response. Like we talked about last week, it's a sense of worship that comes out of our soul. And we respond to the grace of God with our character, with our life, with our work, with our integrity. With all these different things, they're a response to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And I like how the Common English Version says, it's not on the screen, I'm just going to read it to you. It says, this is how we know love. I love how it says this. This is how we know love. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Jesus laid down his life. Let's do the same. That's a response to the message of Jesus Christ. Up on the screen, Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hear what that said. You have been saved by grace. It's not of your own doing, which we're going to get to in a second. It is a gift of God, not a result of works. And our response to that, because that word workmanship right there is masterpiece, that you are God's masterpiece. It's this beautiful word that speaks of a majestic painting, that's who you are because of Jesus Christ. Therefore, God even outlines the works for you to walk in. And by faith, we respond and walk in them. That's what we do. That's what we do. So, mission, sent to speak and respond. And then this is important to God's work, to God's work. As we just saw in Ephesians 2, God does the work. It's not ourselves, so that no one would boast. Like, God is doing the work. And here's the crazy thing. Oftentimes you hear a message like this and you think to yourself, man, I got to really kind of pull up my bootstraps and get on my evangelism game and go out and hand out those tracts that are collecting dust or whatever, you know, whatever you're hearing right now of like what you should do. What I don't want to do is should all over you. You should do this. You should do that. You should. I don't want to do that to you. I want to encourage you based on the response of the great news of Jesus Christ to respond in this and know this, it's God doing the work anyway. He has invited us to play in the his playground. We're his kids. Evangelism is like going down the slide and swinging on the swings in the playground with the other kids. It's like playing tag, just going out and being a kid again and being that innocent kid that proclaims a message that isn't about them. It's that simple. Because God is responsible for the saving. He's already going to do it. Like Jesus says, he walks into Jerusalem. Most of you guys know this story. They're crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the religious leaders say, hey, you need to stop them from doing that. And he goes, if they don't, the rocks will. Right? God's going to use what he has. And he owns everything and controls everything. He's going to save who he wills. Period. Like that's what happens. And he can make a donkey speak. So the invitation is, hey, like God's going to do this anyway. Why don't you get involved? Like this is awesome. And we get to run and skip and play in the playground of God and his work of redemption that he's already doing. Church, this is great news. Where we get to run and proclaim a message. The message is redemption. So, mission, sent to speak and respond to God's work. So, let me say this in Ephesians. Listen to this in Ephesians 1. Now, as I read this in Ephesians 1, now it's going to talk about us and those that are being saved, but look at who was doing all the work. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. When you read through that, redemption is not your work. It's God's work. It's God doing the work. We get to be a part of it. Sent to speak and respond to God's work of redemption. The last one is just simply redemption. That the rest of Ephesians up on the screen, the next verse says, in him, speaking of Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. I read an article one time. It was a devotion by a man named Henry Nguyen. And there was an outtake in there that said, it was speaking to a husband. And there was an affair involved in this conversation. And he said, "What? Why are you so bound up in this petty betrayal?" Most of us would be like, petty, that's not petty. It's like her real sin was being an idol. And then he said something that just echoed through my soul. He said, what she really wants is forgiveness anyways. Isn't that what we all want? At the end of the day, isn't that what we all want, is to be forgiven? No matter what the offense. Some of you even now are thinking about things that you would love to be forgiven of. Redemption is that you can be forgiven, not because I said so, but because of what Jesus has done. You can know forgiveness. You can be set free. And then the good news is that once we step into that forgiveness and freedom, then we're put on this great mission to go and proclaim what happened to us. I mean, some of you know my testimony. My later teenage years, I was dealing drugs and all over the place, and sleeping with women. And I wanted nothing to do with Jesus. I had this kind of cool experience back in the days going into high school, and it was there, but I just put Jesus on the shelf. And yeah, I could feel him kind of in my life throughout that time. But I guarantee you there was no one in my life that would say, yeah, that guy loves Jesus. But I just couldn't deny it anymore. And God had his way with me. And so I found some guys kind of on my own when I moved to Hawaii that said, I love Jesus, on their hard hats. And I was like, hey man, what do I do? And so they took me to a small Bible study. Got all kinds of crazy stories about that one. It was good, though. What was I looking for, church? I was looking to be forgiven. That's what I want. That's what we all want, if we're honest. Redemption is found in Jesus Christ, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. And what I want to do now is this worship band.